Attention listeners, AfterSight's annual hike is coming up on July 27th.
It was a really good experience for me.
Visit aftersight.org/hike and become an audio trekker today.
That hike today gave me so much courage.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. I'm Jonathan Price.
I'm Evan Starnes.
And together, we're bringing you news, tech, and information about blind technologies.
Being blind doesn't mean you have to stop living.
We're going to show you just how possible it is to live the life you want. That's right. Oh my goodness. Today is going to be... It is a very special day for me, Evan. And before we get to that... How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty all right. I feel like it's been a while since I've been sitting in front of this microphone talking to you on here, but wow, it has been a crazy couple of weeks here with the power
going out. It's been a little cray-cray.
Yeah, we had the power
going out. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and we had the volunteer brunch. Now, just with that being said, with the power going out, I want to emphasize to everybody listening, have a power bank or two charged up, because you never know if the power is just going to get shut. Like, you might live in an area where there's no emergencies, but you never know if you're going to lose power. I was so grateful to have a big, giant power bank that kept my phone charged all night and into the next day.
Nice.
Like, just something to keep your devices charged for at least a couple of days. Oh my gosh,
I've got my RAV power bank, 25,000 milliamp.
Yeah,
power bank sitting right next to me. So I've got it rocking and rolling, ready to go.
Right.
And did you do anything fun this weekend?
I went and spent time with family. Actually, my cousin, she's a drummer. They did this really cool cover. She's at a music school. They have a band. It's like Green Day and Red Hot Chili Peppers combined, called Green Chili.
Oh, very cool.
And they did some covers. And oh man, I'm a music purist. Some people have called me or a perfectionist. I enjoyed. I enjoyed them.
That's so cool.
It was incredible. So, and
do they have their music posted anywhere?
Unfortunately, no. I didn't get to sneak any video or audio, but.
Oh, well.
Unfortunately. But
what kind of fan are you anyway, if you're not going to sneak in audio and video?
Right. Yeah. But I got to see the fam, and that's always, oh my gosh,
there you go.
I know I don't see my family enough, I've realized, but that's,
yeah. You know. That's very cool. Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot this weekend. I just kind of relaxed and hung out with Logan. And
oh, yeah.
Didn't do anything exciting. I had to put my house back together because it was very hard for me to walk last week as I tweaked my Achilles and didn't tear anything, but just... Yeah, just not super fun. And when you're in that much pain, it doesn't go super well, and you get behind on stuff.
I understand.
So it was an adulting weekend, to say the least.
Fun.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So next weekend it'll be fun. I'm just gonna take off and I'm gonna kind of hang out. So
vacation.
I'm excited for this week because we have a massive friend of the show, and I think he's more now family than he is friend of the show, and so. Without further ado, it is my honor and privilege to bring in Kelvin Crosby from the inventor of the CME cane. Kelvin, my brother, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Woohoo! But at ya.
Oh, that was great.
That's funny. So what are you up to, man? What are you up to these days?
Oh, man. I tell you, it's been a whirlwind, and I tell you, truly, as a entrepreneur, I call it the entrepreneur disease, because it truly is a disease, because you never stop.
Yeah,
sure. And I mean, I just got back from a trip. I left last Sunday for a 6-day trip, three different hotels. three different states and truly and having really, really smart meetings. Like, have you ever been in a meeting where you had to, you were so like, this is way over my head. And you're not smart enough to take in all the information, but you have to hold it together because you're the one that's leading it. Like, I'm like, I mean, I truly was that way. Like, Monday morning was my first meeting on this trip because I went to Louisiana. And I was like, this is going to be interesting. And it literally, we sat down and the first thing comes out goes, I was like, that was way over my head. Like, what is a fob? Like, what is a light fob? What is? I'm like, okay. Like, and I'm like, can I feel it? I have no idea what it is. I'm like, oh, this makes so much more sense. And my trip is, I mean, that's a whole other conversation because being blind and traveling to three different states, three different hotel rooms, and they're all different.
Yep.
And I call it, you have to delete the old map so you can embrace the new map. And if you just don't do that, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And so,
for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting stuff. I mean, Deafblind Potter is going really well. I have my own radio show now since the last time I was on with you guys called the Deafblind Potter Show. And it's all about living beyond your challenges. And This month I'm doing all about deafblind homesteading. What it would be like if I'm deafblind and homesteading. So we'll see if that's a really good thing for me or not. But and then
that's really interesting.
Yeah. So Stephen Kane's doing really well though. I'm excited to dive in with you guys on the Stephen Kane and really just after this trip that I just went on, I coming home like on cloud nine, being like,
nice.
My dream is coming true. So
absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. For sure. So what can you tell us that's coming out or what's some information you're allowed to share with us about the CME game? Because there's actually a giant update coming in. I think you said in the fall that we can't quite talk about yet.
Yeah. But. So that big update coming in March now, it got pushed back last week. So, but there is an update coming though.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it has always been my dream. Like I say, I have a dream.
That one day. Yes.
Okay? Right? I have a dream that one day that I will have
that everybody who is blind will have a see me cane.
Exactly. And
that's right.
Well, but my biggest thing is I've always, always wanted blind individuals touching through the whole process of the assembly of the seeming cane and producing the seeming cane. And as of Friday, we landed a manufacturer in Shreveport, Louisiana, of all places, the Louisiana Association for the Blind. And they're going to be manufacturing the seeming canes.
Dude,
and what's amazing about this is that the way we've been building the seaming cane requires soldering and there's some other things involved in it. Mm-hmm. And then I've never walked into a meeting before where you walk into an environment and everybody understands all the accommodations needed to make a blind person successful in manufacturing. To me, that just blew my mind away because I was like, wow, I really could do this. And
jeez.
I have a dream, really, it's going to come true, and it's coming true today, not 2 or 3 years from now.
Today.
And, I mean, it's coming true today, and I'm super excited about it because at the end of the day, if you get a seeming cane starting in July, blind people have manufactured that seeming cane.
Dude, that's so epic.
That's amazing. Right?
I love it. How cool is that? Okay, you said it's in Shreveport, Louisiana, this manufacturing place?
Yep. Called Louisiana Association for the Blind.
They're associated with – okay. How did all that come about?
Okay, so the crazy thing is – all right, so I believe in providence, but you can say you can believe in coincidence. But for me, Providence is a lot better for me. So, I mean, for me, I got a phone call. I was literally getting ready to do an interview for the Deathline Potter show. And my friend Kim Klein from LVI America, she just called me. She's like, Kelvin, are you struggling with getting your CME canes produced? I said, absolutely. It's been extremely a nightmare. It cost me way too much to make them, and I can't get them at an affordable rate and all this. Like,
right.
Well, I'm here in Louisiana, and these people want 50 canes yesterday, and they're willing to build them for you. I'm like,
wow.
Okay. So then I get put on the phone, and next thing you know, within an hour, we're working out a deal for me to fly out in 2 weeks to go to the Louisiana Association for the Blind and have the conversation. And I brought some prototypes or some kits with me and said, hey, if you can assemble this the way we've designed it, then we can continue the conversation. I went back 2 weeks, which was last Monday, and I went back. They're the most beautiful seeming canes you've ever seen. Nice. I mean, they were better than the contract manufacturer I'm currently working with. And I'm like, you can't go any better than that.
Wow.
And the part that got even more crazy was, so it says, we're going to eliminate the part that blind people can't do, but we have a solution to make it so that it can be accessible to build by a blind person. I'm wow. like, wait. You're saying right now, not version right. 4 here coming down the next year, but right now we can get CME cane made and assembled
by blind people.
By blind people. I'm like, holler! Like, come on, people! Let's do this! Oh, yeah, cool. Right? And I was like, I would giggle, I was like, oh yeah. And it was amazing. It was the most amazing experience ever. And I walked away. My engineer was there, my dad was there, my whole team was there. And we were just like, this is really happening. Like, mm-hmm. My I have a dream is really saying, no, this is reality, that we're going to have blind people making seeming canes. And mm-hmm. I just, yeah. So I'm super excited. So what's coming up, and I'm excited to kind of, as things continue to grow, be able to share with you guys, like, what is the process to make an environment more accessible for blind individuals to manufacture? Because just to give you a little background on Louisiana Association for the Blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please.
They do laser cutting there.
What?
And it's blind people laser cutting.
What?
That's cool.
Right? And so they use JAWS, NVDA, ZoomText, all the accessibility things you want to use to be able to make it work. And so they make all the flooring for all the battleships.
Wow.
Yo. What?
The no skid component on the battleships, they make all the flooring.
Oh my god.
No way.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's insane.
And so what's amazing is like it's high tech stuff in there. I mean, it's
no joke.
It's a little smelly, but I mean, it could just laser.
I can imagine some
glue and all this stuff. But I mean, I got to meet some of the people that are, and I'm like, dude, this is amazing. And they're like, yeah, it's pretty cool. But one thing that Louisiana Association for the Blind is really well known for is copy paper. I mean, isn't that an oxymoron that you have blind people making paper for people to see in written text on?
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's not funny. Even Braille paper, just your standard printer paper.
Just standard copy paper. And Right. But it was great. But it's amazing is the machines that they have there that's accessible, and the gluing process and the quality control, everything was all done. And they're one of the number one copy paper cutters and producers in the United States. And they produce all of the paper for most of the government, which is amazing. And so, and they do a bunch of other things that they do tons of stuff there, and they have a whole blind school. So that means that they can always train more people on how to make seeming canes, other products and different things. And they become employed. And it just makes me really giggly. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing I could ever done for the Seamy Cane. Like, truly have this experience and be able to be like, I'm a part of this. I'm a part of this journey, and I'm a part of empowering people with visual impairment to be employed, but also provide them safety with the Seamy Cane.
That's so cool.
And absolutely. To me, it just, yeah.
Well, so. And with a lot of modern day technology becoming, well, it does seem, at least from my point of view, to becoming a little bit more accessible, and, you know, things, just mainstream technology that's coming out nowadays does seem to actually have some form of accessibility, or at least like an accommodation that you can, you know, enable. But, Kelvin, I'd like to talk about that, actually. What are your philosophies on technology and the accessibility of it? Should it be a feature, or should it just technology just be inherently accessible for everybody without any modifications necessary?
I mean, it's a really interesting question, right?
It's a loaded question, isn't it?
Right. Because at the end of the day, we live in a world that not everybody cares about everybody else.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day.
Far from it.
But why can't we create a universal design system that can meet people with disabilities? Like my company, Smart Guider Inc., which makes the Seamy Cane, but other products, we focus on developing products for deafblind individuals first. Mm. Not blind, not deaf, deafblind. Because at the end of the day, if we can solve that communication challenge and receiving the information back from a fully deafblind perspective, we really can change the world. Mm. Because if we innovate and develop products from that perspective and think through app development, website development, product development, all that stuff, we're going to solve not only for the deafblind, the blind, the deaf, but all humanity.
Yeah.
And for Absolutely. Me, my philosophy on this is everything to interact with a product, you got to communicate. Hmm. So if we take the base level of that communication, how can we make that base level accessible to everybody? And not necessarily the other way around, where, oh, I'm going to make reading text and then try to make everybody around it be able to have access to that information.
Right.
So in regards to my thing, I'm more on the fence of let's go to the most difficult communication structure and create an accessibility. And let's work from there and then make it bloom. Rather than going from a tree over here trying to get all the other trees to work together.
Yeah.
And let's make it a flower and not one tree standing on its own and not be able to work with everybody else.
Absolutely.
So that would be my philosophy behind it in a nutshell, because if we can solve for that problem, we're solving so many other people's problems as well.
We're going to be breaking down a lot of barriers here, and particularly when it comes to things like employment and independent living. And I'm glad you brought up the concept of universal design and universal accessibility, because, I mean, these are things, you know, accommodations or changes that can be made to technology that'll, as you said, it'll benefit the deafblind community, but there are going to be benefits in it for the, you know, people who are neurodivergent or have, you know, limited motor function or whatever. I mean, it's and there are so many different little branches that we can go off here just to, you know, continue with your tree analogy, that we could spend a whole day talking about this stuff. But yeah, that's. You know, there are different aspects to making things accessible while, you know, keeping them I guess I hate to say it this way, but aesthetically pleasing. To a lot of people, aesthetically pleasing might mean a big flat touch panel with no tactile feedback. But that also, you know, that puts a lot of annoyances in place for us, you know, trying to use that technology. I think, you know, just in that particular example, you know, we could find more aesthetically pleasing and inclusive ways to make that accessible. Actually, what comes to mind in that regard is a particular, there was a washing machine made by GE, for instance, that it was still a touch panel, you know, but they actually put little markers on underneath each of the options that were just little dots that you could feel, and you'd raise your finger up and touch the button. And it still looked really, you know, aesthetically pleasing for sightlings. But, you know,
that's kind of, that's where, that's kind of the thought I was having, is when you have all of this technology that is moving to touch screens and touch panels and touch this and touch that, there's really no actual physical interaction with it. You're interacting with a screen, and the screen is acting as kind of a, what I see as a barrier to the actual product, where you have older style like dishwashers and washing machines and heaters and all these kind of other devices, that there's something that's really enjoyable about the pressing of a physical button.
Oh, a knob. Yeah.
And like the whole tactile feel for me in my car, I really enjoy tactile buttons that I have to depress that have a response to them. Whereas I'm touching a screen, and if the sound or the screen went out, I would have no idea what was going on in my car. Right. And so that is super frustrating. So I'm glad, again, like you, Evan, brought up the idea of this universal design.
Oh, yeah,
I think it's just really,
I mean, really cool. To go to that, I mean, to that part of tactile buttons, I mean, I think like Tesla went so far with no tactile buttons, and now Europe is making a mandate all cars have to have tactile buttons to manage your air conditioning and some of the basic
things. I'm glad they're doing that.
Because it was becoming too difficult, too many accidents and different things like that were occurring because you didn't have the physical button. Because there's something when you're not looking at something that you can feel and keep your eyes on the road. And so at the end of the day, I mean, we're getting kind of in off of a branch here. But at the same time, though, if you dial that back, if you were to solve for I should just use it, deaf blindness, to drive that car, right? Obviously, we don't really want deaf blind people driving cars at the moment, but I mean, but if you were to solve from a universal design standpoint, how would a deaf blind person interact with your dashboard?
Right.
Then you're going to solve for it. You're going to look at things completely different.
That's
true. Oh, you're going to solve 99.99% of the problem.
Yep.
For everybody, too, because just with that. With that technology, like you can't build muscle. Okay, that's not entirely true. I guess you could build muscle memory for using a touch panel, but it's so much easier to build that muscle memory with you when you have physical, pushable, turnable, pullable controls that you can physically interact with. And cars, I was going to bring that up, but it's a dangerous rabbit hole, so I'll keep it short. We need to quit putting touchscreens in cars because
– For sure.
No, touchscreen – well, not all the way, because touchscreens have their benefit for
– Touch buttons.
Touch buttons are awful. Like my grandma's got a Cadillac and everything. Like I can't – everything is touch sensitive. I can't adjust the heat, the seats, the volume of the radio.
So it's a little overkill, and I think, you know, when we're talking about some of this philosophy, it's interesting that – so many times society will go so far to the right or so far to the left, and eventually the pendulum has to come back to center. And I think we're starting to see a shift, at least in technology, where many things have gone so far to the touchscreen, Kelvin, like you said with Tesla, and now it's starting to slowly come back to the middle, and we're trying to get all of this accessible technology, both in medical, in automotive, in computer science, in
culinary.
IT development, culinary. I mean, you name it, and accessible technology is really starting to take off, and there are so many more developers and people like yourself, Kelvin, that are developing technology so that not only the blind and deafblind communities can use them, but so that people can see you coming from 800 miles away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so if you guys don't know what the See Me cane is, it's pretty cool. It lights up. And I really wonder what the visual range is for somebody using a See Me cane, because it would be interesting to go out to the desert and to say, just walk until you can't see my cane anymore, and then tell me when you can't see me.
Well, so I actually did that test in Colorado.
Ooh.
And oh, really?
That's cool. I did. And so it's about 100 yards away.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's impressive.
And they say, and every, so a head shake from the road is 100 yards away. So,
wow.
So if you think about it, if you're going at 65 miles an hour, and obviously you shouldn't be doing that near an intersection, but,
right.
But if you're going 65 miles an hour, if you just look to the left or right, you've already gone one full football field.
Yeah.
And so if you take that into consideration, if you're going slower than that, that reaction time to seeing the seeming came from 100 yards away, you're going like every time you move your head, you're maybe only going 20, 30 yards at a time.
Right.
When you come back, and it's going to catch your eye.
Yeah.
If you can see. And to me, that's one of the most powerful parts. I mean, it's amazing to hear people's stories on how their lives have been changed because of the See Me cane. I mean, I think about this one lady. She looked at me and she said, "Calvin, thank you. I mean, I now can go outside at night. I can go do fun things like everybody else can do." And another person said, "My husband, I was not going to let him go anywhere, but now you give him a See Me cane and he has a couple other apps, and I feel a little bit more safer for him to go outside." Mm. And don't get me wrong, as visually impaired people, we need to go have our independence, whether it's a See Me cane or not. I mean, I'm not saying here, but you're giving people comfort and confidence.
Yeah.
Because you can hear the difference with a See Me cane of the safety around you.
Well, okay. So before we transition, can I just share my See Me cane success story real quick? Because I've got one.
Yeah.
I got a See Me cane a few months ago back in
December.
Yes. And with the weather getting all nice and everything, I always felt, you know, I went through training schools and stuff. I always felt okay traveling independently, but I never liked traveling at night. And just even having – I have light perception, so I can see this might just be a me thing. But having that light in front of me that's with me, it's been nice. It's been kind of that reassurance. It's also been really cool and really easy to flash down Uber drivers that can't find me in certain areas.
Oh, yeah.
I could just say, like, look for the light up cane, and they find it instantly. So that's like awesome. Been my paint the town cane, and it's been seriously, it's been awesome. And I can't stress enough how much I've enjoyed how it's helped me, because I'm a night owl already as it is, and it's been nice to be able to just pick that up and go out and, you know, go to a bar or a restaurant, and it's, you know, I show it to people. I talk about you, Calvin, and I talk about the Deafblind Potter, and it's a cool way to just get more information and spread awareness too at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I'm super glad I got mine.
Yeah, I mean, what's cool is, like, starting in July, we'll be able to start selling canes that are from 70 inches to
32 ones.
Inches. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So if you need a long one, and there's been a lot of you out there reaching out to me like, when are you going to get the longer canes? And they're coming. They're coming. I haven't forgotten about you. It's just this pain of getting a manufacturer has not been easy.
No, sure.
Because it's not cheap.
No,
I mean,
really,
don't get me wrong. I mean, I know the See Me canes are not cheap either, but I mean, right now it costs me $230 to make a See Me cane.
Yeah,
just to make it. That doesn't even include boxing.
I'm not making no money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but in hopes in the future, we can bring the cost down. That way I can at least support my family with the CME cane. But other than that, this isn't like people are like, oh, the price is really high. I said, I'm losing money at the moment. And thankfully, I got people that donated. I got people that are supporting so we can stay afloat. But at the end of the day, we got to be a functioning business that survives. And so, yeah, I mean, there are some things I can't really talk about it today, but there are things coming down the pipe that are going to bring the cost down, but as well empower you in many different ways as well.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited about it. And it also comes back to the philosophy of technology. Like for me, I'm a big advocate on non-artificial technology. Are you using regular haptic technology?
Yeah.
And of your environment. And that's one of the other things I'm a big advocate about because, and so that's going to be, you're going to start seeing that more in new versions of the CME cane and how it empowers people in different ways as well. So, and just to know, the CME cane itself, we have not had one CME cane, the tube part, my secret sauce, we have not had one break.
Wow.
Nice. And
that's
we have
awesome.
Had a couple handles break, which is understandable, but we have not had one tube make. That means that my secret sauce has
that's
worked.
Cool. That's awesome. A cool thing to find out.
That's super cool. Well, I want to transition now to something that is going to be very near and dear to my heart because as most of you guys know, we have been touting that BLT is going to be getting a new co-host. And this is my last show as co-host with Evan Starnes. And Evan, I just want to say a massive thank you because it's been awesome. And with that being said, Kelvin is going to be the new co-host of Blind Level Tech. And
hey, it's so good to see you, even though I can't see you. Isn't that a beautiful day in the neighborhood?
That's right. Just in case, Kelvin, now, you didn't know, that's going to be, you know, now you're official. so we're putting you on the spot. No, I'm just kidding. Kelvin has gone through a very rigorous process, and it's been a ton of fun getting to know him and his heart behind Blind Technology. And it's been very interesting going through the interview process and just doing all this kind of stuff because AfterSight is building this amazing kind of media conglomerate, if you will, and it's kind of taking on a life of its own. And so I'm super excited that Evan is going to be the host and Kelvin's going to be the co-host, and it'll be even better than it was before. And new music, guests that are going to absolutely blow your mind. It's just going to be absolutely insane. Kelvin, how do you feel about all of this transition and why did you decide to become the co-host?
Well, one, I don't have to produce the show. That's one thing. I mean, to me, when I was like, oh, I can put my name in the hat for a show and I don't have to produce it because I already produced two other shows. I'm like, oh, this sounds amazing. And then the other thing is, I was like, you know, I've always wanted to be part of a Blind Technology podcast. Like, that's always something I've always wanted to build. But I'm like, why build it when I can get on one? And it's already built. And so that to me was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then the other part to me was like, I've enjoyed listening to you guys every week. And when you guys don't have a podcast that goes down the week, you got a text coming from me.
Hey, you light us.
That's so funny. I'm like, I have a sketch schedule. It is a Wednesday in the afternoon. I expect to listen to you at Wednesday at lunchtime. But if you're not there, I'm very disappointed. and so I've been a big fan, and then I was like, this could be a really cool opportunity to join forces with AfterSight and the CME cane and to really encourage, because I mean, we all know, I mean, me as an individual, I'm always trying to help people live beyond their challenges.
Yeah. That's been your philosophy. And to me,
that's always been my philosophy. And to me is one of those, I could do this. I can help people live beyond their challenges, visually impaired here. And yeah. I can walk through this journey and be one of the few deafblind people in the world mm-hmm. that do get a chance to be behind a mic and encourage others and teach others about technology and be able to go down this journey. And I'm excited to take you guys on the journey of the See Me Cane.
Absolutely.
On the technical side of it. Because since we have blind people manufacturing the See Me Cane, wouldn't it be interesting to see how they actually do that and talk about the techniques and the tooling and the things behind that to make See Me Cane? So
I've personally been
And that'll be an episode coming up in a couple of weeks. And Evan, I'm curious about your thoughts, what you see for BLT going forward. And then if you could also talk about some of the BLT bites.
Oh, man. Yeah. So this, I don't have words. This is huge for me personally and just professionally as an individual. There are a couple of particular blind podcasts that I used to listen to as a kid and as a, you know, a young adult eventually that really drove me and that not only kept me in tune with technology and, you know, the blind low vision world, I guess, but really just got me through some really tough times. But I'm really hoping to take what we have with BLT here, because we've got what we've built over this year alone has been mind-blowing for me. We've opened so many different doors. I've met a lot of really cool people, and we've made a lot of connections, both me personally and just us as an org. And I really want to build up off of that. And I, having Kelvin on the show as a permanent co-host, I'm very, very happy about it. Kelvin, you're not only a perfect fit for BLT, but I also think I'm glad that we're also giving you that opportunity to make your voice even more heard and, you know, just spread, I guess spread the word as corny as it sounds. I don't know how else to word it, man, but it's been incredible. Now, I've had a couple of people ask me some pretty consistent questions as far as, first of all, I'll get to the BLT bite and then I'll actually touch on you guys' questions. So yeah, BLT Bites is actually going to be part of BLT, and it's going to be like a little mini series that we're going to be launching and starting in May. And it's going to actually really be geared towards our older adults, people that, you know, just want to learn something really quick, don't want any of, don't want any banter or any fluff. They need a quick tip or a quick piece of information, and that's it. So they're actually going to be little episodes focusing on, well, the first episode is actually turning voiceover on and off using Siri. We're going to cover things like scams and the different types of scams and what they might be like, answering and ending phone calls or changing your voiceover voice or just any of that stuff that, you know, especially people that haven't used voiceover before, you know, or that haven't used technology from a blindness perspective before, you know, they might be, it's foreign to them. So we're going to make that a series and really try to help, I guess, bridge the gap pretty much. So
yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure. And so those, like we said, will be coming out on May 7th, and those will be little 5 to 10 minute bites. And those will come out on Tuesdays, typically right before our Wednesday release of this show, BLT. And so be looking for those. It'll still be on our BLT channel. So if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, any of the places you consume podcasts, it'll be in that same channel. It'll just be labeled BLT Bites. And it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it. Evan has done a fantastic job, and I'm so proud of Evan for growing in this time and making sure that he's on point and being ready to take over these very small shoes that I have created, because he's going to be able to take it and grow it into something so much more than I ever could have. And with the help of Kelvin, it's just going to be mind-blowingly huge. And so Absolutely. We're so thankful to the audience. Yeah, Evan, anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really do want to say I am thankful to not only the audience that, you know, not only our listeners who are blind, low vision, mm-hmm. what have you, that have given us feedback and that have also come on the show or found guests yeah. for us to bring onto the show. I love that ripple effect that gets created mm-hmm. Once you get that ball rolling, it's not going to stop. And I also just want to personally thank my family because
yeah.
they, I'm sure some of them are listening right now, have done unspeakable things for me, both mm-hmm. personally and professionally. And they've been supportive and I don't know. I don't have words, but yeah. I get all emotional here when I talk about this stuff, I am incredibly grateful for them and I'm super blessed to have them in my life. So, but regarding BLT, the format's going to stay the same. It's still going to be just as goofy and fun. And one particular segment that people were concerned about is still sticking around. And in fact, that segment in particular is
the sandwich of the week.
Well, I actually haven't been eating a whole lot of sandwiches lately, but I did have these. It wasn't a calzone. It was they're like foot long. Oh, those are good though. It was like a stromboli or something, but it's pretty much it's got like Italian sausage sauce, pepperoni, cheese, sandwiched between two long pieces of bread. So nice. That's actually going to be my sandwich of the week for this week. And, you know, it's Italian and I'm on like a bit of an Italian kick lately. So, I don't know. I just don't know what they're called though. So unfortunately I don't have it.
Sounds
I can't
good.
Put a name to it. It is delicious. But Jonathan, what's your sandwich of the week?
It's funny you said calzone because over the weekend I went to Costco and they have these chicken bakes, these Parmesan chicken bakes, and they're super cheap and dude. They will burn your mouth off if you bite them right away. And so in my head, if anybody knows the comedian Jim Gaffigan, he has this like Hot Pocket little stick and he goes,
Hot Pocket.
Did I eat it or put it on my face?
I love Jim Gaffigan. He's one of my favorites.
And he's so funny. And whenever I buy one of those, I use that 10 or 15 minute drive home to let it cool down. And then it's not always as crispy as I want it to. So I'll stick it in the oven for like 5 minutes, but then it's perfect. And then I just enjoy that sucker. And yeah, that Parmesan chicken bake is my jam for this week. Kelvin, you're up, my friend.
Well, so just an FYI. just for everybody to know, moving forward, I don't eat vegetables.
Uh-oh.
So the BL part of it is out the door. I mean, the LT part of the BLT is out for me. I'll take the bacon all day long.
It's a BBB.
Yeah, exactly. But my pick for the week, truly, I had, what do you call it? I was in South Carolina, and I had a marlin, fried marlin with tartar sauce and cheese, and put that on a bun. Man, it was heaven in my mouth.
How interesting!
And it was just simple, but if you've ever had marlin, it is awesome.
I've never had marlin.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I've heard of Dory.
So I don't know what the sandwich was called, but I went to this hole in the wall. Because when I travel, I try to eat local.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like in Louisiana, I had a lot of crappie.
Oh, that was nice.
So good.
It always starts with a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Huh? Yeah. So I love my hole in the wall restaurant because you never know what you're going to get.
No. And
a lot of times it's 100 times better than a franchise.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'll take it in today.
Oh, because usually it's like family owned and there's so much love that they put in to their food.
Exactly.
And I don't.
Exactly. Just,
there's something different. If it's messy, yep. the better. And I've convinced my kids that the messier the sandwich, the better it is. So if it's falling apart, that's a good sandwich.
That's a fair point. That frustrates me when sandwiches fall apart. And I'm like, oh, you piece of junk.
I know.
Like,
well, this has been so good. This has been an absolutely fantastic episode. And I want to remind you guys that our hike is coming up on July 27th. And so make sure that you go on our website, aftersight.org/hike, to register for your spot on the hike. And if you're coming in from out of town, man, it's going to be such a fun time. Come enjoy the Colorado Rockies and all that stuff.
So if you guys want me to come, I need 10 of you fans to send in a question about me that you would like me to answer.
Ooh, there you
and
go.
Then I will fly right on up.
Heck
and
yeah.
Go on this hike.
All right. So that challenge has been challenge laid accepted. Down. Gauntlet has been thrown down. So if you guys want Kelvin to be out there again, send in 10 questions. And if we get 10 questions, you're going to see him at the hike. And I would, for one, love to see that. So I may stack the deck and just ask 10 questions from 10 random emails.
I might try the same thing.
Oh, man, it's going to be so much fun. We plan on having anywhere from 70 to 80. We would like to get up to 100 hikers, and so we're trying to make that goal a reality. And then we also have Game Changers, which is going to be happening on June 6th, and that is going to be our launch into all things blind sports, blind accessible sports. It's going to be fantastic, and we'll be announcing the hosts for that in a couple of weeks. But, Kelvin, anything from you before we get this wrapped up?
I think my main thing for you guys to walk away from today, it's okay to fall.
Yeah.
Just know you can get picked back up. And it's only a challenge for that moment, but you can overcome.
Yeah. Evan.
I just want to echo Kelvin's philosophy of living beyond your challenges. And honestly, I just want to say I'm really excited to be moving forward with having you as a co-host. And I'm excited to see what's to come. I know it's going to be great, and I know there's going to be a lot of new doors that get opened that I can't even fathom. So I'm here, and I'm ready. And to say that I'm on the edge of my seat, I don't know, that sounds cringy, so I'd rather not say that. But this is going to be amazing. So
yeah.
Honestly, cool. I could speak, you know, I could continue rambling on, but it's all corny and y'all have heard it before. So
don't worry. There's plenty more corny Kelvin and Evan moments coming up in the coming months and coming years for BLT. But as my final sign off, I just want to thank the entire AfterSight family. And on behalf of the AfterSight family and Evan Starnes,
don't forget to plug in your devices.